With the things that have been occurring over in Texas and Louisiana, and this thing that's coming in to to hit the coast, this is going to throw everybody down there in a state. It's going to pass. We are not in the tribulation period. I say we are not in the tribulation period. And I've been putting that out, and I've been afraid they were going to try and shut me down because they are getting all these governors on there, and they're getting involved in it. I'm qualified to say what I say and do what I do. Those governors don't know their left foot from the right except how to get votes out of people. And so preachers should stay out of that and just let the guys on there do something. I respect a lot of those weather people, because I was trained in that. And if I said to them, Fyrtoff, absolute vorticity trajectories, they'd understand exactly what I was talking about. And and they would say, how do you know that? Because I went to school, and I went to different military schools, and I went to public schools, and I went to colleges and universities. And so what I'm afraid of is this stuff is going to pass down there. And when that thing comes in down there, it's going to pass too. Well, all of a sudden, all that's going to pass right on out of there, and we'll be back in a period of time where they'll think, well, nothing happened. And nothing, well, this stuff down there is bad that's happening. I know that. But let me put it this way, in Arkansas terminology, you ain't seen nothing yet. When that tribulation period starts, H-E-L-L is going to break loose on the earth. And it's not going to occur as soon as that's over down there. We got a ways to go before that happens. So I've been putting out stuff and telling them, look, don't think when this is over. Because I don't know how many people say, this is the tribulation period. And it's not the tribulation period. We're not in the tribulation period. And it may be a longer period of time than I have thought. I don't know. But I know this. I'm going to try and warn as many people as I can before they shut me off the air. And right now, all those governors on there are telling all these people this stuff's going to happen. And then everybody's going to say, oh, isn't this wonderful? Isn't this wonderful? And we're going back to a good time of probably normal weather. And when that happens, they'll say, oh, this is all over. But it's not going to, it's going to start in a quite different way. And they're not prepared for it. I am. I'm prepared for it because I've expected this to happen for a long, long time. And I told you way back there, I said, I'm going to stop for right now because I want to make sure I've got a handle on this thing. I know what's happening down there, and I know it's going to come in. I know it's going to go out, and I know that they're going to be stuck down there with weather, good weather. The weather up here is going to be great this week. I mean, absolutely great. And down there, it's going to be chaotic. But the truth of the matter is, they're not in the tribulation period. You'd be surprised how many preachers that teach. You got to have 7 years of tribulation, and after that, the Lord will yank us all out of here before they come. So they're going to explain all this away, and it's just not going to happen that way. And I'm sorry. No, I'm not an apologetic for God, but I'm not that way. I talk to him, and I have to apologize to him quite often because I don't treat him with enough respect. I don't have enough faith in him, and I don't have enough hope and love in him. All this is hard for me when these preachers tell me that don't worry, everything's going to be all right because the Lord's going to take us out of here before the tribulation period. And you'd be surprised how much of that I get. And it's just not true. And another thing is, when all this clears up down here, they're going to say, see, I told you. Well, that's why you have to consider what the Lord told us about doing the kind of work that he appoints preachers to do. You got to expect a lot of flack. If you don't get it, you better be careful because something is wrong. I can't understand why preachers believe that the Lord would take us out of the tribulation period when so many people have suffered in time. And I had a hard time with thinking, well, why would he take it out on the last group? And I've struggled. I told Chuck about this. I've struggled with this for a long time. I knew I was saved. I knew I was scripturally baptized. And I knew that we were going to have a seventh trumpet rapture. But I kept saying to myself, Lord, I just don't understand why so many people just don't like this. Well, I guess I was the one that should have understood. But what I'm telling you is, things are going to get back to non-chaos status. So you got all this stuff going on down there now. It is chaotic. But it's going to just leave. You're going to have the best week of weather you ever had here. You're going to have temperatures in the 80s, low 80s, maybe even 78. You're going to have a whole week right into next Monday with good weather. And no rain, no thunderstorms. It's going to be wonderful. And I don't care what you say about him. I like the guy. But the truth of the matter, oh, hi. Chuck's going to get on to me for this after class, so don't worry. He'll take care of me. It amazes me. The Lord tells us that we're going to have tribulation, but everybody wants to escape. Everybody doesn't want to go through any. How do you think you're going to get any rewards in heaven if you don't suffer a little? You say, well, God wouldn't do that. God's a just God. He is just and the justifier of them which believe he is the propitiation for their sins. And you're going to have some people that are going to... I'm going through the tribulation period up to the seventh trumpet. And you say, well, aren't you scared? Absolutely not. Why should I be scared if I've got somebody on my side? Not on my side, but if I'm on somebody's side that's got all the power in heaven and earth, if that's true, and it is, then why am I so concerned about getting out of here before the tribulation? And so even the people in our work that say, yeah, I believe in a tribulation period. Well, I say, how long is it? 7 years. They know that. They also, I'll run into some of them. I say, what do you think? Oh, I'm a mid-tribber. I say, well, what's it going to occur? And they say, right in the middle of the tribulation period. I said, well, how does that long? And I list all that stuff. And I say, well, let's talk about it. They don't want to talk about it. I had two visitors this weekend. And I don't even want to talk about it. What has been happening in the Texas and Louisiana areas this week is not the tribulation period time. Nor is it Hurricane Irma headed for west to meet for a contact with eastern U.S. coast. I'm not saying you're not going to have trouble down there with that thing coming in, but for the last two years, I've watched the weirdest weather that ever occurred on this earth. All kind of records broken, lows and highs and different types of storms, and they've been of a different variety altogether. That's what I was trained in, and that's why I was trained in it. And the stuff that's happening, the whole world is going into a trap. And I'm not going to get caught in it because I know what's going to happen down there. I don't know the exact date of the rapture. I've tried, but I don't think I'm supposed to know it. But I do know that God is letting us know that this thing down there right now is not the tribulation period. So you can read this first part. And you can read that big print, and I can read it, and the pre-stage, and you can read this whole thing. So the pre-stage Ezekiel 38 and 39 prophecy is now being introduced by Russia in the Middle East. I put that out in 2015. In 1974, I completed my first book. At that time, I believed in a mid I believed in a seven trumpet rapture. But I couldn't get up in a, I could not work in our inside our work and tell people they were going to go through the tribulation period. I couldn't do it. And you say, well, were you afraid to? No. I started to several times, and I read about, you know, that I was supposed that's what was supposed to happen, and I studied it and I believed it. But I just couldn't. I just couldn't. Oh, you could tell in there if you ever read my first book. But the time I wrote my second book, I had learned to get around it without lying. And God had, I don't know if I talked God into it or God just said, you should have known that all the time. But I knew that I was supposed to do things, and I did them. And if you think it was easy, it wasn't. But now I know. And so I'm going to talk about the fact that in the book of Revelation, you go roaring along through the fifth chapter of Revelation, and at the end of it, you've got a situation where it's bad. And it's a period of time when you're just about to have a chaotic condition occur, and all of a sudden it warns you by giving you, if you want to call it a preamble to the scripture, if you want to call it a rapture, if you want to call it a seventh trumpet rapture, regardless of what you call it, it's going to occur in a certain way. And so we're now sitting on the verge of what people will come to believe teaches people that have believed there would be a rapture or resurrection or whatever you want to call it, will say, see, it didn't happen. It didn't happen. I have never forecast that. I have never predicted that. I have always said that it just wasn't that way. You'd be surprised how many people are going to fall out of a faith. They're not even in it. Well, they'll fall out, but a lot of them that are in the faith, they'll just quit coming to church. So some things are going to happen that are very revealing. And read this introduction, because you may want to call it a Revelation 6, 9 through 12 is a parenthetical excerpt. You may call that a parenthetical insert, which immediately precedes chapter 7 to give the time, that's give should be singular, to give the time when the tribulation period begins as tribulation number 1 sounds to continue the tribulation period until the seventh thunder. Now, I hope that I've made this point, and I hope it's stuck. We're going through part of the tribulation period. Whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not, whether you have to have somebody come up and say, people ask me, is my baby going through the tribulation period? And they ask me this, and they ask me that. I've done a song and dance routine, but God didn't bother me about it. But I'm going through the tribulation period up to the seventh trumpet. I'm going. And you say, well, that's crazy. Haven't I got that point across? Sometimes I get so frustrated inside, I feel like, are they not getting that? And what's the rush? What is the rush to escape the tribulation period? You say, well, you don't want to go through it. My carnal man doesn't want to go through it. But I'll guarantee you I want to be a bondservant of God in heaven. I guarantee you that's what I want. And I'm not worthy of it. He knows I'm not worthy of it. But that's what I want. And if you think that he's going to pull me out of here when all this stuff starts, really starts, then you're wrong. And if you think you're going to be flipped up out of here because you happen to believe in certain things and not have to go through any tribulation at all, you're wrong. And so I'm just telling you flat out, you better get ready to go through the tribulation period. And if you're not ready, I would strongly recommend that you start conducting yourself in such a way as you want to be. You want to be a bondservant of God in the eternal heaven age, in what is we call the final age, and want to be in the everlasting age and serving God as a bondservant. Why are you afraid of going through something that the one who controls it has all the power in heaven and earth? You say, well, are you telling us we're going through the tribulation period? Let me put it plain. You are going through the tribulation period. You say, well, what I believe won't allow that. Yes, it will. I guarantee it will, so you better get ready for it. Now, the pre-stage of Ezekiel 38 and 39 prophecy is now. Israelis shall attack the Syrian Antichrist near the ending of the next U.S. administration. And prophecy diagram 321 will be activated. You say, well, you mean we're going to be left here to go through the tribulation period? I do. You say, well, this is my last day here in this church. Sayonara. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Because I'm not going to stop telling people this, and I'm not going to stop believing it, because it's the truth. And if you don't have the backbone to stand up to persecution, and when you know that you're working for the one who has the whole power of heaven and earth, everything in his hand, you don't have any spiritual courage. If you have spiritual courage, what are you afraid of? You say, I'm afraid of dying. Well, good for you, buddy. Every carnal nature that has ever been created is scared of dying. I'm not carnal. I'm sold under sin, but I'm not carnal. And I'm not afraid to go through a tribulation period. You say, well, you will when it starts. My carnal man will, but I'm prepared for it. And if it starts occurring and you're not ready for it, you better get ready. Because it's something you need to seriously think about. Now, the pre-stage, when you talk about Revelation 6, 9, and 12, it's parenthetical. There are other scriptures, whole chapters in the Bible that are parenthetical. What does that mean? God just slips them in. Why does he do it? Well, there's usually a reason. You know those funny little things out there at the end of a King James Bible? They've taken a lot of them out. Little weird-looking things sitting over to the side. Those are called wows, wows, wows. You say, well, what do they mean? Well, believe me, I was never taught. Believe me that when I got up here and started looking, I started trying to figure out what they were. You know, I called two of the finest men I know in our work that are also seventh trumpet. And I said, what do those things mean? There's both of them. And they're two of the most respected men in our earth I love dearly and taught me. They didn't have the foggiest idea. You say, well, now you're going to reveal it to us. You wouldn't believe what I've gone through to look at that. I don't know. The only thing I can tell you is that it has to do with God saying, I'm going to do this for this. Now, he put a tribulation period in Revelation chapter 6, 9 through 12. It's in there. You say, well, I'm not going through that part. I didn't say you were going through the whole thing, but you're going to go through it up until the seventh trumpet rapture. You better get ready. And I can't help you. All I can do is tell you about it, warn you, and tell you that whatever you intend to do with the Lord, for the Lord, or about the Lord, you better get at it. You say, well, what about you? I better get at it. I am getting at it. Okay. The pre-stage of Ezekiel 38 and 39 prophecy is now. I put this out on September 30th, 2015. Israelis shall attack the Syrian Antichrist. You say, well, now, wait a minute. If there's all this stuff down there happening now, that's part of the tribulation period. No, it's not. Have you ever thought about this? Believe me, I have. And I have the whole time I've been up here. But I kept talking to God. I said, I want to tell people. No, he didn't come back and whisper in my ear, but he just wouldn't let me do it. And so I thought, well, you know, what am I going to do? So I did what I did, and if it's right, it's right, and if it's wrong, it's wrong, the way I went about it. But God doesn't bother me about it, so he didn't bother about it then, and so I hope he's not going to bother me about this. But I'm trying to tell you something that if you don't believe, you better start thinking about it. You are going to go through part of the tribulation period. You say, well, don't you think we're saved? Yes, I do. Don't you think that we're scripturally baptized? Yes, I do. Don't you think that we're trying to keep the observe the ordinances that the Lord gave us, the two of them? Yes, I do. You say, well, why would I have to go through the tribulation period? You got to be about the only one around that's got the truth, and you're gonna have to go through there. And I don't know what it's gonna cost you. It may cost you your life. Did you ever notice those people in chapter 5 are called martyrs? Martyrs. Martyrs. It means they died. You say, well, it's talking about way back there. Oh, you think God's cut off his plan? No, and I'm being real straightforward here now. I've told you time and time again, I can't tell the day, the week, the month, the year of the tribulation period. But I'll guarantee you that we're this thing that everybody's got now, and you'd be surprised how many people out there are saying, oh, this must be the tribulation period. This is not the tribulation period. The tribulation period, have you ever thought about this? Most of the prophecy pertains to Israel. Where's all this stuff happening over there now? Think about it. Jesus walked over there. Jesus told them. Jesus made it plain to the disciples. They were Jewish. Why in the world did he do that? Because, and why has he warned us? Look at what they went through. Are you chicken? Are you scared to death because you don't have enough faith in God to get you through the tribulation period? Wake up! Because you're going through part of the tribulation period, whether you believe it, whether you like me, whether you dislike me. And I'm tired of trying to be honest, not offend God, not offend you, but by the same token, do what God wants. Now, in Ezekiel 38 and 39, it says, I think I made all that pretty plain. I think I made it plainer than I ever have before. Consolidated Blog was first put on in 2009. The series appears on our prophecy updates 28 to 39 were issued during my 2000 pre-21 computer during the time my 2000 pre-21 computer crashed during the last century. I've taught at Dardanelle Missionary Baptist Church for 40 plus years. See Archive Prophecy Update, diagram number 321. It was placed up for view on December 9th, 2011. I've got to do something to cut down on the calls that come in for me because I'm an old, old man. I'm not looking for your sympathy, but I feel it's time. And so in these things I'm putting up now, and we'll have a new one up, Lord willing, tomorrow, I'm going to be as frank and blunt as I can on it. And if it makes people mad, it's going to have to make them mad. If it makes you mad, it's going to have to make you mad. But you're going to go through the part of the tribulation period. You say, but I might die. Hallelujah. If you died in it, then the thing about it is, where would you live in heaven? Doesn't the scripture say, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven? Have you become so spiritually strong that you're scared to go through this tribulation period? What kind of a missionary Baptist are you? Are you scared to go through it? You got a carnal nature? You ought to be scared. He's scared of it. You say, yeah, but he ain't going to be taken out at the rapture. Oh, God of mercy. forgive me, but I tell you what, I am so tired of trying to trip around something that I have known for a long time. Ezekiel 38, the prophecy, okay. The attack of Israel, king of the south, will not attack the Syrian Antichrist, king of the north, before the last days of the next administration. I will tell you that much. Daniel 7, 24, 25. Everybody's looking at this over here. They're trying to fulfill all the prophecy over here in the United States. Well, is it going to be fulfilled over here? A lot of it is. The falling away from the truth. This is where it was coming from. God put us over here to distribute it to the rest of the world. And instead of doing that, we didn't establish it. We didn't send the truth. We sent out a bunch of tarnished stuff that the devil actually caused to be corrupted. Okay. The series appears on our prophecy updates 28 to 39. They were issued during my 2000 pre-21 computer when my 2000 pre-21 computer crashed during the last century. They hacked it. I've known about computer hacking for a long time. I was taught about constant absolute vorticity trajectories when I was in college and universities. They did, and when I was in the National Security Agency. I know all about them. I can tell you about them from top to finish. I can tell you everything they're showing you on television. They have really refined it down to a science, but they have left God out of it. And they don't even want him in there anymore. And I hate that, but I just have to deal with it as it is. I've taught at Dardanelle Missionary Baptist Church for 40 plus years. See Archive Prophecy Update Diagram number 321. Now, let's take a look at this. They're all looking at what's happening here. They act like all the prophecy is going to be fulfilled here. It's not. It's part of it is, but not all of it. You say, well, you seem very, very excited about this. Listen, I am more than excited. I am actually fanatical in telling people you're going to have to go through the tribulation period. I'm looking forward to it. You said, you're crazy. No, I'm saved, scripturally baptized, and ready for it, and know when it's coming. Now, what about this? The attack of Israel, king of the south, will not attack the Syrian Antichrist, king of the north, before the last days of the next administration. Now take a look at Daniel 7, 24, 25. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them. And he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. Well, that happened. And this is something that is still future. And he shall be diverse from the 3 kings. That hasn't been fulfilled. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of times. When does that occur? You say, well, yeah, but we got this thing going on here right now. This is the beginning of the tribulation period. What about this? If you want to just grab scriptures out of right and left everywhere, go right ahead. You'll end up with the biggest mess you've ever seen in your life. Don't tell me I don't know what I'm talking about. I've lived this. I've lived it. And I know what's going to happen. I don't know the day, week, month, and year. I can't tell. But I can tell you this. What about it? And the 10 hands out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them. And he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. This hadn't happened yet. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and dividing time. You'll find this in the stuff I put out. I worked around it, but I didn't lie. And I did want to make it plain to people, get tough. Believe that God knows what he's doing. And don't worry about whether you're going through the tribulation period or you aren't. Just know that it isn't being fulfilled right now. We're not in the tribulation period. Ezekiel 38, 1 and 2. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against him. This is Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against him. Gog, which means high extension, appears for the first time in Ezekiel. Appears for the first time there. He is the Antichrist, about of whom so much has been written. Please note that he is identified as the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. Many commentators, especially in the last 100 years, we've been deceived. And we've been deceived by clever preachers that have gotten rich off of it. And thank God I'm alive. I don't accept it. I don't claim it's inspired. I don't claim I'm inspired. But I am claiming, I'm aware that I have to answer before God for what I preach. And that I'm still trying to do it. And I still can't tell you the day, the week, the month, or the year. But I'm telling you, you better get ready to go through the tribulation period if you thought you were going to skip out of here. And every one of you is certainly qualified, I think. During the last 100 years, have not identified him as the Antichrist, but have identified him as the ruler or chief prince of the land of Magog, which I do not believe Scripture justifies. It does not justify it. Before the 20th century, most identified him as the Antichrist. If you consider that the ones that didn't consider him as Antichrist, they thought he was Antiochus Epiphanes. So you say, well, Brother Michael Murray, where'd you get that? After a lot of hard study in dusty libraries on all these trips, going into places where I had to have somebody in there that held it and let me read it because they were afraid I'd damage it. And the truth of the matter is, in verse 2, Ezekiel is told to set his face against two separate things, a person and a place. The person is Gog, Antichrist, and the place is the land of the descendants of Magog where it existed in Ezekiel's day. If we do not locate the territories of Magog, Meshach, and Tubal as they existed in Ezekiel's day, then we can have no idea as to where the Antichrist will soon rear his head, or the area from which the attack will be launched. Why? Because there are more than 2,500 years that have slipped by since Ezekiel wrote his prophecies, and the bloodlines of all three men have distributed across the entire planet. In order to correctly identify the area from whence the Antichrist will attack Israel, we must identify where the descendants of Meshach and Tubal were residing in 500 and 600 B.C. Why? Because the Antichrist is not the chief prince of Meshach. He is not the chief prince of Magog. He is the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. He will come from the area where their descendants were settled in 500 and 600 B.C. So we just come up with something over here. We say, and we try to fulfill all the prophecy right here. It won't work. It won't work. You say, well, aren't we God's children? Yes. You say, what should we believe? We should believe that all power in heaven and earth is given unto God. We should believe that. You say, well, I shouldn't be afraid of anything. Amen. Amen, Clyde, you finally got it. And the truth of the matter is that when you talk about what's going on now, what about in Israel? You can't have all this stuff without Israel. It's got to work together. It has to work together. Whether you like it or not, or believe it or not, you have to. I'll tell you what I believe. I believe I'm saved. I believe that I have been scripturally baptized. I believe that I'm the pastor of this church. And I believe that all this stuff that's going on down right now is not the tribulation period. It's God warning us that it's coming. And who's the warning for? Well, who's going to believe it? Hopefully you. Hopefully we have enough faith in our Lord, since he has all power in heaven and earth. And we don't count ourselves as being rich, 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 rich. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's us. That's us. And then he slides in this parenthetical thing that most people are biting on right now. And all those preachers say, well, we're going to have a rapture here pretty soon because of what you're seeing down there in the Middle East. And then 7 years of tribulation, and they don't even think 3.5. So if you want to know what we are, we're a rather rare breed. If you want to know what the disciples were, they were a very rare breed. Do you know what happened? It cost them their lives. Why are you so afraid of giving this up? You say, well, aren't you? My carnal nature is. But not my soul. God lives in my soul. And he's taught me, and he's used other people to teach me. But the people that I trust want to serve God. And you don't have to be afraid of the tribulation period at all. It's going to be tough. You may die in it. You say, well, I don't want to die. Well, think what you inherit. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's just as true as what we believe about the rapture. And you can't be strong in spirit and be and live in heaven. You have to be broken down into pieces where you don't have any confidence in yourself, but you've got all confidence in God. Now, many commentators, especially in the last 100 years, have not identified him as the Antichrist, but have identified him as the ruler, our chief prince of the land of Magog, which I do not believe Scripture justifies. Before the 20th century, most identified him as the Antichrist, but most identified him as the Antichrist. The person is Gog, Antichrist, and the place is the land of the descendants of Magog, where it existed in Ezekiel's day. He didn't just let all those people wander around in darkness. They just didn't want to study. They just didn't want to be what he wanted them to be. In verse 2, Ezekiel is told to set his face against two separate things, a person and a place. The person is Gog, Antichrist, and the place is the land of the descendants of Magog, where it existed in Ezekiel's day. If we do not locate the territories of Magog, Meshach, and Tubal as they exist in Ezekiel's day, then we can have no idea as to where the Antichrist will soon rear his head or the area from which his attack will be launched. Why? Because more than 2,500 years have slipped by since Ezekiel wrote his prophecies, and the bloodlines of all three men have distributed across the entire planet. In order to correctly identify the area from which the Antichrist will attack Israel, we must identify where the descendants of Meshach and Tubal were descending in 500 and 600 B.C. I have spent a large part of my life trying to find out where they live. You say, well, all those other people did too. Did they? Did they, or did they read after some other commentator that put them in the wrong place? I didn't put them in the wrong place. I know where they live. I know it archaeologically, and I know it from the scriptures themselves. Why? Because the Antichrist is not the chief prince of Magog. He is the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. He will come from the area where their descendants were settled in 500 and 600 B.C., and that was, at that time, it was actually, he's the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and that is where Lebanon and Syria are now located. He was in the Levant. You say, you think you know more than those fellas? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. You say, well, you must think highly of yourself. Good Lord, no. I understand what he meant when he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I understand that. I'm not the same man I used to be. One of my favorite movies used to be Ebenezer Scrooge. When he'd come out and he said, I'm not the same man, I'm not the same man, I'm not the same man. Neither am I. I've got something to look forward to, and I've got a kingdom to look forward to, and I want to live in that kingdom. You say, well, you must think yourself worthy. If I thought myself worthy, I probably wouldn't even think about being in there. But I'm hoping God will be merciful to let me live in that kingdom. And you say, well, that's grace. Amen, it's grace. But you have to get saved to get God's grace. And to me, this thing that's going on right now is the most exciting thing ever happened in my life. And if I die, I'll die knowing that you never did need me. You just need God. And you just need to trust God. And you just need to believe that all power in heaven and earth is given unto him. He will come from the area where their descendants were settled in 500 and 600 B.C. I will attempt to use two different sources to locate where the descendants of Meshach and Tubal were centered at the time of Ezekiel's writings. The first is found in the 27th chapter of Ezekiel, and the second is from the Assyrian monument stones of that period. And unto Tyrus, O thou that art situate at the entry of the sea, which art a merchant of the people for many isles, many islands. This was in 600 B.C., 700. Thus saith the Lord God, O Tyrus, thou hast said, I am of perfect beauty. That sure doesn't sound like, blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Listen, I'm not worthy to be in the kingdom of heaven, and neither are you. But I guarantee you that God decides who goes in there. And he's not going to put a bunch of people in there that are proud and haughty and think they're special. They are special. We are special. But only because God made us special. O Tyrus, thou hast said, I am of perfect beauty. Tyre was a seaport on the southern coast of what we know today as Lebanon, which is directly north of Israel. Tyrus built the first great seawall to protect its harbored ships more than 3,000 years ago, and a thriving seaport in Ezekiel's day. You've got to consider what's going on over there if you're going to think about what's going on over here and try to base everything over here. It won't work. Its ships, years ago, was a thriving seaport in Ezekiel's day. Its ships carried merchandise from the countries of the east across all the Mediterranean and as far north as the shores of the English Channel. Zidon was also a seaport, and less than 20 miles separated the two cities. I guarantee you that's where they were. You say, well, what about all these preachers that are preaching all this stuff on there and telling us the rapture, we're going to be raptured out of here? They're wrong. You say, do I think they know they're wrong? Some of them are, some of them don't, but they're wrong. But they say, well, I sincerely believe that. Well, you go right ahead and sincerely believe it. It's not true. This is true. The wise men of Tyrus were the navigators of the ships, and the men of Zidon were the deckhands. Isn't that interesting? As portrayed in Ezekiel 27:8, the inhabitants of Zidon and Arvad were the mariners, the wise men. Thy wise men. It says, thy wise men, O Tyrus, that were in thee, were thy pilots. Now, bearing all this in mind, let us look at Ezekiel 27:13. Javan, Tubal, and Mesach. They were the merchants. They traded the persons of men and vessels of brass in thy market. Meshach and Tubal were warlike tribes who often took their captives, persons of men, and the vessels of brass they had captured and hammered out themselves and carried them to the nearest seaport for trading. You can see why they do that. They took it to the nearest seaport. They took it to the nearest seaport. And those two seaports are 20 miles apart on the coast of what we call Lebanon. And it was called the Levant, and it ran all the way down into Israel. He said, for trading. The captives were, of course, loaded on the ships and slaves as foreign parts of trade. Why the nearest seaport? Because in Ezekiel's day, travel was by foot, donkey, camel, and horse. People always carried their trading goods to the nearest port, particularly slaves. Therefore, I conclude that Meshach and Tubal must have roamed in the area we know today as Syria, Lebanon, northwestern Iraq, and southern Turkey. Meshach and Tubal are the Muski and Tabala of the Assyrian stone monuments. You say, well, if that's all you had, would you believe it? No, I wouldn't think it, but I might not say I'll stake my life on it. In the time of Sargon and Sennacherib, 700 BC, the territory of Tubal adjoined southern Cilicia, while that of Meshach joined the highlands to the east of Tubal. Considering the locations derived from the Bible and stone tablets, I'm using the Bible and stone tablets, it appears that the Antichrist, as the chief prince of the area once occupied by Meshach and Tubal, is likely to arise and eventually to attack Israel from Syria or Lebanon. And since Lebanon is virtually controlled by Syria, it appears Syria is the best guess for the homeland. Now, I believe this. I mean, my soul is anchored to it. I mean, that I don't feel at least, I'm not, don't have at least twinge inside me for teaching you this. You don't know what I've gone through to try and tell the truth without just trying to get around this. And I've talked and talked to God about it. And I said, Lord, somehow, if it's all right, I know I don't deserve it. I've told him this many times. And he's taught me I don't deserve it. I know that I'm poor in spirit. I want to live in that city. And I want him to put me in that city. That's what I want. So I believe what I've taught you. Chuck's helped me, other people have helped me, and I've looked at this thing and I've said, I've got to consider what everybody says. There are certain men I trust, and I have learned that there are certain men I never should trust. And I made some serious mistakes. But I'm thankful for Anna Mae, because if it hadn't been for Anna Mae, Lord, I don't know what I would have done. And if any of you disagree with this, Anna Mae, if you disagree with this, go somewhere else, because I ain't going to change my mind about this. Ezekiel 38, 1 through 3. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. Part 1 established. From the scriptures and Assyrian stone monuments, that the descendants of Meshach and Tubal, at the time Ezekiel wrote his prophecies, were primarily located in what we know as Syria and Lebanon. We also established that the prophecy is against a person, Gog Antichrist, and against a land, the land of Magog. I am convinced the Antichrist will attack Israel from Syria. So we're getting all stirred, a lot of people are getting a lot stirred up now by what's going on. And they, the first of the week, will say, See, I told you. And the mid-tribbers say, See, I told you. And the truth of the matter is, they don't know their left foot from their right. He says, Where were the Magogites located at the time of Ezekiel's writing? Chapter 6. Under the title, How Every Nation Was Denominated from Their First Inhabitants, Japheth, the son of Noah, had 7 sons. They called the nations by their own names. Magog founded those that were from him first called Magogites, who by the Greeks were called the Scythians. That's a fact. Where were the Syrians? Where are the Syrians? They're up in the land of Magog. The Greek writers of the classic age said the Scythians occupied the area today which we identify as stretching from Moldova eastward across the Ukraine, southern Russia, and into Kazakhstan, then southward into the Georgia, Armenia, and Azerbaijan. Roughly the area north of the Black Sea, between the Black and Caspian Seas, and the area northwest, north, and northeast of the Caspian Sea. I do not believe the nations in this area will join in the initial attack against Israel, but I am certain they will come down for the final battle of Gog's War, which is the Battle of Armageddon. The battle of Armageddon, found in Revelation 16, 16, is the final battle in Gog's war, which began 3.5 years earlier. Well, let me look at the rest of this. Oh my goodness. Now, this series, I'm going to preach on Wednesday nights. And I put this out a long time ago. I'm going to preach it on Wednesday nights. Lord willing, if I last, fine. If I don't, that's fine too. But I'm going to start right on the previous phase on part two. And I will complete this, Lord willing, on the next. So mark that there, part two, and I'll start that next time. Is that okay?
Well, you actually did already have a part two, but if you want to go back over it, that's fine.
Huh?
You've already